Hello, everybody. It's Marcy from wavesofcommunication.com. Welcome to another episode of the Language Facilitation Helpline podcast, and thank you for tuning in today. Every action you take to help the late talkers in your life is important, that the fastest results come when you enjoy the process of language facilitation. We're going to be talking about allergy season, and I've got 5 tips for you to help you and your late talkers if they've got runny noses this time of year. We've got the change in season, no matter where you live. If you're on the northern hemisphere like me, you're moving into summer, spring into summer, and lots of things are blooming, and trees and flowers, all that kind of stuff, plus lots of different things happen. And as the seasons change, many kids are very susceptible to the environment, the changes in the environment. It doesn't have to be outside things. It could be dust. It could be because, you know, who knows what's going on. And you might be seeing these symptoms, the runny noses, the foggy head, those kinds of things that come with allergy time. And so I, for you, have 5 tips to share today. Let's get into what we're talking about today, which is allergies, runny noses, change in behavior. Now, if you were on the channel looking at the videos of the kids who are being misdiagnosed with autism because of ear fluid, these kids who have chronic ear fluid, a lot of times allergies will trigger flare-ups. They might even trigger flare-ups in kids after you've had ear fluid treated. There's lots of things that go on, and you as a parent of a child who is susceptible to allergies should know about this. Now, it's not only just upper respiratory allergies either. It could be stomach allergies, food allergies, any kind of things that are changing the environment of your child's physical body. And the body starts to, you know, they don't like it. They consider it irritants. That's what's going to happen here. So let's get into these tips and talk a little bit about what's going on. And actually, before I get into the tips, I want to share with you what you might be noticing from a language facilitation perspective, what changes could be happening, where you're going to notice these right away in late talkers is in this area in the workbook. When we talk in the area of functional spoken language understanding, because what happens first that's gonna trigger the changes that are going to alert you to, hey, something's going on here, or teachers or childcare providers or the doctor when you take them, you know, anybody who spends time around the late talker, and if the allergies are the culprit for what's going on, you're going to notice a change in this area first, a remarkable change, because what happens is these kids lose their ability to be able to process, understand, follow directions, do what they got to do because they're distracted. So we're going to talk about why it happens and what it does in these 5 tips, but these are the areas in the workbook. And if you are not sure what I'm talking about with this, if you're watching me for the first time, it comes from my workbook, which is this, the 11-week language facilitation journey to speech. And you can find this workbook, the links to the workbook, in the description below. All right, so let's put this away. Whoops. Oh, that's not what I want to do. Sorry. Let me get all my ducks in a row here. Okay, so let's get into the tips, what I'm going to be reminding you about here. Here we go. Tip number one is this: runny noses. So it might be a food allergy. It might be an environmental allergy, inside, dust, outside, pollen, change in the weather, mold, any kinds of these things that trigger upper respiratory symptoms. They're going to trigger runny noses because the way the body fights against these things is by making more mucus. Okay. That's how it tries to get these allergies
pathogens out of the body, either down into your gut. So that's what could happen. Your child could get stomach aches because they're swallowing all this extra mucus, or it's just coming out of their nose. They're crying more. If they've got really big ears, then you're going to see. So the reality is, especially if your child is under the age of, let's say, 6 to be safe, and they are exhibiting more mucus, you're seeing it come out one way or another, right? They could be puking more. They could be dry hacking, you know, that kind of thing. Then assume that it's getting into those ear tubes that are the tubes that are between the hearing, the air that's going in, the sound waves of your speech, and the actual parts of their brain that are processing those sounds. There is a blockage going on. That's what this ear fluid does. It could be thick, it could be thin, it doesn't matter. It's changing your child's hearing experience, even just a little bit. Just like, remember, if you get a cold or a stuffy nose, it might not be permanent, but it causes you to feel something in your head. So just assume it's happening, whether you actually even see it or not, because your child could have also learned how to swallow and swallow that stuff. You know, it's kind of disgusting what you think about it, but mucus is mucus, right? And we're talking about allergies, and allergies trigger mucus, and mucus triggers ear, nose, and throat irritants, and ear, nose, and throat irritants trigger late talking symptoms, okay? And specifically the ones that I was talking about in that understanding. Now, again, if you don't understand what's going on, you're going to be more hesitant in your speech. You're going to see it in all the areas, but you're going to really notice a big difference, because your child is going to stop doing things they used to be doing because they're not hearing you. They're not processing you. They're just not getting it, okay? And so how you accommodate them, just assume they're not hearing you well. So what do? We accommodate with extra visual help. Slow down your speech. Talk a little louder. Make sure you're getting good eye contact. You're getting in that face. You're holding things by your face to remind your child to benefit from looking at your mouth as well as listening. That's what hearing impaired people do naturally. And it's irritating to them if you're holding things up in front of your face while you're talking like this. Even it's blocking the microphone. Like, you can already hear that extra blockage of what's going on. So be conscious of all those things that your late talker is more hearing impaired. Something's going on with their hearing, even if it's different, even if it's not the loudness, because that's the other thing that sometimes happens with this fluid is the kids become hypersensitive to super loud sounds, because remember, it's sloshing around in the fluid that's in the ears. And so it could be muffled, it could be accelerated, something's going on. So make sure that you're paying attention in your late talker to how it's manifesting, and then just accommodate them. Don't wait for them to ask you, just accommodate these things, okay? I see your questions coming in, and yeah, hope that we'll see. All right, and great. I see the questions coming in, so we're going to get to those as soon as we get through these tips. So let me get through them. Number two, we're getting into right now. Allergic reactions. They cause the whole central nervous system to focus on responding to the effects of the irritants. That's why you make more mucus, okay? But you also do other things. And your body, remember, central nervous system involves your brain. And you stop thinking about new learning. You can't, because you're too busy feeling irritated by irritants, okay? And those trigger, remember, if you're irritated, you can't concentrate. You can't be extra accommodating for other people. You can't be extra kind. You need people to care for you. You're not feeling like giving that. You're too busy trying to make yourself feel better. Even unconsciously, that's why you're going to see symptoms that maybe you used to call stimming kinds of symptoms, or things that the late talker did when their ears were affected. Maybe they're going to chew more. Maybe they're going to have changes in their diet more. All of these things are coming out of your child's energy trying to combat these irritations. And so you have to really focus your speech, because they do have the capability to learn, right? How to help themselves feel better. This is what you've been teaching them all along, until you've got this little hiccup of allergy season that suddenly your child, those understanding, processing, following directions, listening to you tell stories is going down, and you don't understand why it's going down. And then now you've got this runny nose situation. Your job is to shift your focus away. Just put it on pause right now. The extra ABCs and what they've got to do for school and keeping up with the Joneses, you know, the other kids or their academics or their tests or their whatever coming up, all of that stuff, their body is already putting on hold. They're already mentally, they have checked out of new learning, checked into self-preservation. How do I feel better? How do I feel less irritated? How do I feel less stuffy? How do I feel less foggy? How do I feel better? So that's what they're going to come to you. You're the caregivers, right? You're the moms. You're the people that are looking out for them. So this is what you want to do, is present them with the whole process. Remember, the process results in the progress with language facilitation. So you talk about what you're doing to help their stuffy nose. You're putting the you know, whatever the things that you are offering them, without just solving them for them. Oh, I know it's allergy season, so I've got to get the extra prescription. I've got to get the things. I've got to close the windows, open the windows, whatever you're doing. Involve the lay talker in those whys and hows and becauses, because you're doing those things because you know they're going to help the child feel better. You've had this experience before. This is not the first allergy season you've gone through. And if it is, and you're trial and erroring those things, maybe if we put a humidifier in your room, it will help the mucus go away and you'll be able to think better tomorrow. Let's give that a try. Put the manifestation into your remedies. Involve the lay talker to put their energy and their manifestation into the remedies, because that's where their attention is right now anyway. And so you got to just give up what you think they should be doing and accommodate this dis-ease, this lack of wellness that's happening right now. This combat, help your child's body help itself, okay? So involve them in the process, your team. That's how you're going to make very good progress and change, okay? All right, let's get into number three, because I know some questions are coming in. Focus on the physical symptoms is highly distracting the lay talker, and the congestion, not only congestion, but any meds you might give them, cause this foggy head that I'm talking about. If you have ever had an allergic reaction to an environmental irritant, you know what I'm talking about. Between dealing with the never-ending mucus that you're distracted by, it's dripping on your papers, it's getting on your clothes, the lay talker can't stop swallowing it and it wiping it on things, all of that stuff, right? It's all very distracting. So remember, just like I talked about before, where you're going to give up this other stuff, there are things you still do have to do. You still have to get dressed. You still might have to go to the daycare. I mean, it's allergies. It's not illness. They're not contagious. They're just not feeling their best. So you have to alert everybody around them. If you expect your late talker who's got a runny nose to go to school, daycare, something like that, you need to alert those people that your lay talker needs some extra TLC during this time. Your expectations have to decrease. You have to allow extra time, extra help, extra guidance, extra whatever, because they're feeling crummy. Allergies make us feel crummy. And so we have to accommodate that and understand, again, that the focus needs to be on the healing, because when the healing happens, they'll remember how to do it, right? And that's what this is. Allergy symptoms come and go based on the environment. Now, some of those things you can control, if it's dust or animals or whatever that you're allergic to, you can avoid contact with those things or take your medicines ahead or whatever you do. Or sometimes it's just everything around you. Around here in Florida, when the trees bloom, it's everywhere. It's on the cars. It gets in the systems. Everybody's, if you're really allergic, you've got to have extra filters on your air conditioning systems, because it just comes in your house when you open the door. So it's everywhere. Sometimes there's things you can control. There's things you can't control. This is what you have to talk about with the late talker, because remember, they're going to experience it whether you can control it or not. And when you can't control it, they're going to experience it. So you have to talk about the triggers, not just the symptoms, because it's important that you talk about when this happens, we do X, Y, Z so that we feel better until this time passes. The environmental trigger passes, that period, season, it passes, right? Remind the late talker that this is temporary. I know it's not fun. We've got our extra things to accommodate. And we also know what causes it. So if it's some food and your late talker is really tempted to eat that thing, you know, there's those kinds of things that go on. It's really, really important that you involve the late talker in understanding what it is in the environment that causes this, to either understand why it's happening to them. Because that's one of the other things with these little guys. They don't understand why their head is suddenly full. They used to go out and play last week. It was just fine. This week, they can hardly breathe when they go outside. It's very important that they understand why this is happening. Why is it going on? And they don't know who is causing it, because they believe, in fact, because you've proven to them that people do cause things to happen in their life. When I call you, I want you to come so I can feed you. When you need me, you call me so I come to help you. I intend for you to sit here so I can teach you how to do this thing. I intend for you to listen to me. I want to listen to you and watch you show off your superpowers, right? Their whole life is about connecting. If you've been doing language facilitation, right, you've been building that connection. The late talker's coming to you to help them. Wait a minute, why is this happening to me? I don't even understand what's going on. This equips them for when it happens in the future. So you can develop your prevention strategy so the very second they start to feel these symptoms, they don't start questioning their reality to understand why is the park bad instead of it was good last week, bad this week. Why? Now they know why, and they understand when you help them accommodate, okay, maybe the park isn't a good idea this week. We're going to wait because it's massive bloom time. We're going to wait. There's a rainstorm coming this weekend. Next week, the park will be better, we hope. But this week, we're going to play in the house. We're going to develop an obstacle course in here. We're going to build a fort. We're going to do something different and involve the late talker in, this is what we can do. When we can't control the trees, we can control our fun. We can have fun inside instead of outside. We can do these things. And you have to give the late talker credit, because remember, in that workbook page that I showed you, you're seeing what's their attention, their focus, their interest in learning decrease because they just can't anymore. They're too busy independently taking care of themselves or trying to learn how to independently take care of themselves. You will learn that the process of your illness, your allergy season, your runny nose time will have helped you on the other side of it. When everybody's feeling better, they're going to have bumped up a level or two even in the expressive language and the understanding on their own through your efforts of helping them understand why these things are happening, okay? So that's why we're using this. That's why I'm here talking to you about runny noses and why it's not just something that happens. It's an opportunity, right? It's, I know it's a pain in the neck to deal with your kid whose nose never stops running and running and running, and the drooling or whatever is happening because they can't breathe and their mouth is open and oh yeah, yeah, all the mucus and all the laundry and the wiping and the, you know, whatever, germ sharing, all of that that's going on right now. It's yucky. It's not very fun, runny nose time. But I'll tell you what, if you've got this opportunity in your family, maybe you even, or one, maybe your partner has big allergies going on this time, and what they're doing to deal with this, what y'all are doing to deal with this allergy situation is teaching you all how to evolve as humans, how to make it easier next time, because it, you hack through, learn how to get it easier until it gets easier. So yeah, you're an allergy family. Own it. You're an allergy family. Today, I got my auntie with attitude shirt on today because we're helping people own your reality. You can't change the trees blooming, and you don't want to make everybody sad through the process. If it isn't fun, it isn't fun. Of course, it isn't fun. But how do we make it fun? How do we look at it as glass half full? How do we make the situation okay? Because it is reality, and it's either good, bad, or at least okay. It's going to be okay. It's temporary. Everything's temporary, especially these allergy seasons. All right, let's look at number five that I've got for you. And it's pretty much a summation of everything I've already said in 1 through 4 and what I say in all my other videos. Focus on connection and observation before problem solving. You, as the mommies and caregivers, you are professional problem solvers. You've got a list of problem solving. If you're not solving the problem yourself, you got people on speed dial who help you solve problems, okay? Professional problem solvers. I know y'all. And when the second the runny noses start, you want to avoid the mess I was just talking about earlier. Now, what we need to think about, again, is how to use this opportunity instead of just hack your way through it one more time, because every time you do that, that sets you up for the next time. You've got to do the same. And you do all the work when you're the only one wiping instead of teaching your child how to wipe, when you're the only one accommodating your child's needs instead of teaching them how to independently soothe themselves when they're at the school and they've got the nose stuff going on, right? How do you help them? You empower them to share their discomfort. You find out every little bit of the thing that is wrong with them. If it hurts when you wipe, if their tummy is feeling yucky because they swallowed so much stuff, if the medicine you give them or the way you're giving them the medicine is an unpleasant situation, let them complain. Let them show their discomfort. Let them, there, it's communication, you guys. What you want from these kids, you want them to share it. It, if it's verbal, if it's nonverbal, you want them to spill it out, because then look at this, you have this opportunity to learn where they are, where when they don't have any ability to put on a show, what do they have? When they really need to let you know what's the most important thing for them, their discomfort, help me feel better, right? Support them as they learn to become more independent. Because as you say, all right, I know it's stuffy head, it's foggy, it's irritating, it's nasty, it's rough. My goodness, the cloth is too rough, and you get a new cloth. You're empowering the lay talker to say, hey, when I communicate my discomfort to you, I can trust that you'll do something with that information, that you won't just ignore me and put your rough cloth across my face for the 1,000th time just because you don't want to see it run. It's that simple. But it's really a mindset situation, right? It's all about using the opportunities that you have in life, the good, the bad, the challenging, the, you know, whatever. I think they're all opportunities. because we learn from every experience. I just came back from a vacation and I just watched on YouTube somebody do a video about the same cruise that I was on with, here's why you never want to go on this cruise, why it was the most terrible cruise, you don't have to go on this cruise because there were a lot of problems on this cruise. It was the first one out after the pandemic and there was delays and it was bad weather and there was all kinds of stuff that had the potential to make this cruise a nightmare. But I looked at it as opportunities. I observed how people responded. I learned about my own self and how I was responding and how did I feel about things. And I looked for all the gems around the ship and the people who were positive. And I connected with them and figured out how that went. And that's kind of like what you got to do with allergy season. It comes whether you like it or not. And, you know, and the irritants, it's an irritating situation. All right. Let's look at some of these comments that are coming in. Says, my 4.5 years old, started schooling now. Congratulations. Teachers complain something's going constantly in her mind. Well, because it is. All late talkers have something constantly going on in their mind. How else? I mean, what do you think? They're stumps? They're not learning from all the stuff that you're exposing them to? She's at school now. She's learning new things every minute. Every minute at 4.5 years old. They're exposed to something new. Especially that. She's speaking something continuously. She's like, hey, I want to get a word in edgewise. She's empowered in this environment to be like these other kids. She pays attention for some times and then goes in her own world again. Let's see. The teacher calls this it happen again, but simultaneously she answers the questions which the other child is unable to do. All right. So what we're talking about in this kind of situation, I'm just going to put this first one up again. So if other people are watching, you can learn also. So if you've got this child's already 4.5, already knows a ton of language, is probably thinking ahead of the other kids. If finally in school means that this is the very first level of school where the teachers are evaluating, the kids are evaluating, not what the kids know so much as to how are they school kids? Can they sit and learn? Because at this stage, 4.5, they don't expect kids to read and write. They expect kids to sit and listen so they can learn to read and write. And so if kids aren't sitting and listening at 4.5 years old, then people start to get concerned that they won't be able to sit and listen to read and write because they think that kids need to quietly sit and listen. Now, your late talker, I don't know about the evolution of what happened to get your child to this point, but whatever it was empowered your child to share what's on her mind and potentially sort of choral sing or chime. As a matter of fact, one of the clients that is in my program is starting to do this now. He is older, a little older than your child, but knows a ton of language. It was first coming out as jargon, as completely wordless representations of these visual images. And then what happened was his parents started to probably do what you did, get slow, get specific, start to dial in to joint attention and talk about the things that you were doing together. And suddenly this child realized how to use what we call gestalt phrases through natural language acquisition. Your child was listening to those phrases, didn't probably process all of it, but got the best parts that your child can use. And is when they hear those similar phrases that they picked up from the tsunami of speech that was coming in, because remember, if a child's talking, that means that the speech coming at them is resembling that. And then when you change to slow down and give more space, the late talker was able to refine that, what I call fire hose output, into more of a refined, oh, this is actual words and their speech. And so now they have learned that when they say these simple phrases, they can get a response from other people, very much like I was talking about in this video. When you a child comes to you with a problem and you solve it for them, they learn to trust that the way they communicated that is effective because they got you to do what they want you to do. Your child has figured out how to get people to do what they want them to do because probably your child has been prompted to do a lot of things. And so she knows how to get things done, but she doesn't know the teacher's way. So the issue here is the teacher's unhappy with your child's level of sitting and listening and attention. And if this is a behavior, a learning behavior that is expected of the school, then it's going to be your responsibility to equip your child to be able to do that. You have to remind your child that it's their turn to listen to someone tell the story. When the teacher is talking, they have important information that they want to listen. But it also is going to be important for these teachers to not ignore what this child is saying. She's saying things, but it might not be exactly related to what's going on now. It's related to what's going on in her own head, and she's just saying it out loud. The other kids aren't saying it out loud. And the teacher doesn't know what to do with that information. This late talker is trial and erroring. When I say this, what reactions do I get? Do I get positives? Do people respond or do they ignore me? And you are responding to these things at home, but the teachers are potentially ignoring them at school. And that's where your late talker is confused. So as your late talker is evolving the spoken language, they need to be successful in all the places. You are the ones that are going to have to share those models, both of behaviors that it's expected of them. They've got to sit and listen to a story. How are you practicing that at home? If they've got to be able to sit and follow a three-step direction, how are you teaching three-step direction tasks at home? Cooking, home, you know, self-care. Are you coaching and directing every step? Are you doing it for the late talker? Where are they in the step? Because at school, they're expecting them to show more independence, and your late talker is doing that, but they're not seeing it. Obviously, like you said, they see it after the fact, so they're not appreciating what's happening during. So this is about connection. It's about connection. All right, let's get on to the next one. Hopefully that was helpful. It's about approach. Lori, it says, hi, Marcy. I want to thank you for helping empower me to help my kid. It's my pleasure. I want to thank you for thanking me and letting me know that I'm reaching you, because I don't know unless I get these comments and you folks join me live. So thank you for joining me, Lori. I've seen progress in his speech and my attention, and especially our connection in just a couple of weeks. It truly has been a gift. So thank you so much for that. I really appreciate always hearing. So it says, Lori sounds similar to my grandson. I'm a caregiver. He repeats what he hears and also has his own language, mix and babble. So that's what's going on. That's what's going on. Okay. And I see you guys are responding to each other. That's it. So what's great about this is he had his hearing tested yesterday and perfectly fine hearing. So what's so interesting about that is here's what she says. His brother says he talks when he wants to. And this is really, really important, because remember, there's a lot of things that make kids not want to talk. There's a lot of things that make them not want to talk. If they're not very good at it, they're going to represent as I can't, because they don't want to fail. They don't want to fail. And I think that's what happens, especially to these kids that are refining their speech. When they're using what I call garbage, you know, speech, that really the only people who can understand it are the intimate caregivers, the moms and dads. You know what that noise means. You know what that gesture means. When he goes into a certain room, when he has a certain facial expression, no babysitter, you know, external person who isn't intuitive or, you know, like trying to figure out what's going on. no random person on the street's going to understand that communication, right? That very, very basic, basic level. And then it emerges out of that into noises or whatever. And then suddenly it gets to the point where there are actual words or real gestures. It could be sign language or things like that, that other people understand when they start pointing at things and that kind of stuff. And that level is a comfort zone for a lot of kids because suddenly their world opens up. More people understand them than they did before. Now, they stay in that comfort zone as long as other people will give more, sort of empowering them to say, yep, that's enough. All you got to do is come into the kitchen and breakfast arrives. You don't have to do any more. As soon as you trigger me, I use my knowledge of you to solve your problems. Okay. And this is a mindset that the late talkers will keep parents in. They'll be like, no, I don't want to try anymore. No, I don't want to give anymore. No, I don't want to do anymore. I just want you to keep reading my mind as long as you do until there's a tipping point. It happens that these late talkers, you fail. You start failing to read their mind because they learn about things at school or they learn about things on their device or they see their brother do something in the other room that you weren't privy to. Now, you're only able to read their mind about experiences that you were there and be part of. But if you didn't, if you weren't there for part of it, then you're going to start to fail in your mind reading / guessing efforts. The late talker is going to trigger you with their behavior and you're not going to give the right thing. And then they're going to get mad at you. They're going to say, how come you can't read my mind anymore? How come you don't know what happens when I'm in the other room? And they lose faith in you. And then they start to show other behaviors. They've got to step it up. At that stage, you've got to let them know, dude, I don't understand you, right? You should have done it way before that. Because if they're not giving you enough speech that a babysitter could understand, at least pointing, then you don't know how to expand it. All you know is how to respond to it. You're crying. Okay, I go in my own head. I don't know why you're crying. I'm not connecting with you. I'm not seeing the situation around me. But when you do, when you connect with the child and your situation around you, you're crying because I took the phone and I didn't tell you. I didn't give you warning. I told you you could have it one more time and then I changed my mind or whatever. Or your brother just whacked you and you're crying, you know, right? I see that happening. I guess what's going on. It's up to me as the language facilitator to expand on that situation, to teach the late talker why it happened, the other person's perspective, why they did that thing, what they were thinking about, because the late talker can't do any of that. They're triggered. They came to you. I'm triggered. Solve my problem. Help me. Do what I need. You know? That's what they do. So that's it. So it seems to do just what he feels like doing. Talk is not often, but it's there. For instance, he said, I go outside and grabbed his coat, but for the rest of the day, he babbled. So you see, because what they do is the kids will know which behaviors will trigger you to do things, and they know which ones you can't read anymore because you fail over and over again. You fail over and over again. You didn't get that when he got his coat, he wanted to go outside, or what's even better is you did realize that the reason he does say, I go outside, is because you realized, because you were doing language facilitation, that every time he went to get his coat, you said, you want to go outside. And he even knew how to change the pronoun into I go outside, which is brilliant. And know that he knows a lot more language than he's using. But that other babble stuff, you didn't have an experience where he was connected with you enough to listen to you model the words for those things. In those cases, he wasn't listening. He was in his own mind. Right? He wasn't hearing you say, put the green one on the red one. And maybe you have to say it 500 times, or you don't know if he's listening or not. I don't know if he's listening or not. You do if he's smiling, if he's looking at you, if he's responding. And I'll tell you what, going outside is super motivating to him. And so he quickly learned the words around that. So again, we're motivating these lay talkers to learn, just like I talked about on this video. You're going to motivate, they're suffering from allergies. You motivate a late talker to problem solve their problems. They're all in. They're there. They want to learn. It's not super fun and happy, but it is after you're done. That relief feels super fun and happy. Finally, we have relief. Finally, I know how to take care of myself. I feel like a big boy. I don't feel like a helpless baby at 4.5, 5.5 years old or whatever these guys are. Okay. So hopefully these were tips and these questions as we talk through what these late talkers are using as their motivation. Let me show you really quick in the workbook when we talk about the late talkers expression, right? Their connection with the language facilitator. If they are at least getting what they want, they're listening. If they're not getting what they want, they're out. So all you got to do is be helping them meet their needs and then expand. And when they love it, they're going to come to you at level 6 and say, let's do this again. I want to do this again. They're going to trigger you again to share more about it. Okay. Now, this is the functional spoken language expression that goes down when a lay talker gets stuck in a comfort zone. These levels down here are comfort zone levels. I'm good enough at letting you know how to guess what I want. Level 2. You guess, they trigger you. You guess, they trigger you. Comfort zone. Right here, they're saying words to try to trigger you to say more. A lot of parents get stuck here prompting kids to say things instead of giving them more than what they're giving to you. You know, how do I improve it? How do I make the child expand? How do I turn a word into a sentence? This is you trying to prompt and change what they're already doing, right? And they're just going to prompt you to give them more because they cannot give you a sentence unprompted until you stop prompting them and demonstrate how those sentences look naturally. Okay. This is why a lot of parents get stuck at this level. They think, oh, he figured it out. He knows how to say words. Why aren't the sentences coming? The sentence I want to hear is, I want cookie. Give me cookie. Where's the cookie? The cookie is yellow. You're trying to teach what you want to hear rotely as a behavior. Say this sentence when I want you to say this sentence. That's not language training. That's speech output programming. When I do this, you're quiet. That's behavior training. That's not speech. When to start and stop talking. You demonstrate that through your behaviors. You start talking when you're teaching something. You stop talking when you listen and focus on the late talker. That's what you're demonstrating. That's what you're facilitating. That's what you're motivating. Because when the late talker says, push my swing, and you say, you want me to push you on the swing? Okay, I'm going to push you so you go higher. Here's my fast pushing. I'm coming behind you, putting my hands on the swing. When I push, you're going to go. Ready, set, go. 1, 2, 3. Not, okay, I'll push you. That's here. That's here, actually. Right? Because that's even speech, push. It's, you know, okay, push how, push why, push without giving more of how and why you're pushing, you're never going to see it. Who's going to teach it? You are responsible for teaching every single thing that comes out of your child's mouth like a computer program, they're a robot or something. This is why robotic speech comes out of kids. Because people get stuck in this level. So hopefully you're understanding now. And again, if you need to look at the workbook, you want to see what it is, this is what it's called, the 11-Week Language Facilitation Journey to Speech. You can get it on Amazon. If you are working with the workbook and you're struggling to get through those levels, then that's when potentially coaching is something that you might want to invest in. And yeah, I think that's the whole thing. When you see things like they say the word once, but never say them again, that's when it's a sign for you, Brooke, that you're not consistent enough with your models. You're shifting back and forth between teaching and testing and teaching and testing and teaching and testing. Because if you're counting how many times your kids are saying words, your mind's not in the right place. You're not facilitating without expectation. You have to facilitate without expectation. You have to be so conscious about your output that you could be like, oh, this would be stuff he might want to say. This is stuff they might want to say. I'm just going to talk like I want him to talk. I want him to tell stories. I want him to give details. I want him to share opinions, right? Because he only has to say horse one time to prove to you that he knows the word horse. And the reality is he knows lots of words, millions of words, thousands of words, potentially. I don't know about millions, but thousands. Because if he's just saying it that one time to make you happy and you're triggered to be like, oh, ooh, I know he can talk. And then you start prompting and teaching and thinking that you're done. You know, you're just getting started. It's just a sign that you're on the right track. Okay. All right. So, that's how we go with all these Q&As. I never know where it's going to take me. Thanks so much for joining me, everybody. I'm going to go ahead and stop it for now. Don't forget, you can join me every Thursday for live Q&A right here, wherever you're watching this video. If you're watching on the replay, thank you for your support, watching, like this video, share the content, share the idea of language facilitation, just share what you're doing with your friends. Don't hesitate to tell other people how powerful they are too. Show them how successful this has been for you. That's what we're trying to do on this channel, is equip and empower parents to solve these problems themselves. You can do it easier, faster than professionals, or use professionals as resources so that you solve them better yourself, okay? Good luck with allergy season, those of you allergy families. I know it's not very fun. It's just part of why we have waves of communication. There's always ups and downs. And the smart ones out there, use the situations of your life. Thanks for tuning in today. With a whole range of waves of communication resources, from free content to customized coaching, you now have access to everything you need to elevate spoken language to infinite success. You are welcome to get your journey started with my 11-week language facilitation Journey to Speech workbook. This tool is helping parents worldwide create nonstop language facilitation opportunities that elevate spoken language beyond even their own expectations. You can access this workbook and all of the language facilitation resources on my website, wavesofcommunication.com.